Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies. This is Pardes from Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, Pardes alum. This week, Vayetze. This week, Rabbi Mike Foyer discusses Vayetze. Rabbi Mike Foyer is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi Mike Foyer.
The journey through the lives of the Avot is many things, and one of them is a lesson in prayer. The Gemara in Brachot 26b actually maps this out in terms of the aspects of the three times daily prayer service which each one of the Avot, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, established. Meaning Avraham, Tikein et Shacharit, Avraham gave us the morning prayer. Yitzchak gave us the prayer of the evening and Yaakov the night. And as Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook teaches, these aren't just behavioral signposts, points during the day when I'm supposed to do the thing. What the Avot brought into the world through establishing these modes of prayer was an embodiment for the three principal benefits that prayer can bring to the overall service of God. Now, I know we're well along in the book of Bereishit and that this is a podcast on Parshat Vayetze, but a quick review is always helpful. I know this as both a learner and a teacher. So Rav Cook says that it was specifically Avraham who gave us the morning prayer because, quote, the first act of prayer is to root firmly in the heart all the holy concepts and lofty images, the foundations of awe and morality which one has acquired, so that they will not falter under the storm winds through desires of the heart and passions of the time. What he's saying is that Avraham wasn't just the spiritual revolutionary who acquired a whole new world of the divine, all these holy concepts and lofty images that we've inherited from him through our text and our intergenerational conversation. He was also Rosh HaMa'aminim, the first of the believers, the foundation stone for all that holds fast to his path going forward. And so his prayer is called in the Torah Amidah, standing, because Avram takes a stand against the whole world, he on one side and they on the other, and even stands up to God, and of course, stands fast in his emunah, in his faith. And so, continues Rav Cook, it was Yitzchak who gave us mincha, the evening offering, through the prayer called siach. As it says, not too long ago, in Bereishit 24:63, Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basadeh lifnot ariv. And this siach basadeh of Yitzchak, this conversation in the field, takes me right back to the original conversation of creation. Because if you look closely, we've heard this story before, back in the second chapter of Bereishit, in the fifth line. V'kol siach hasadeh terem yeh ba'aretz. Right? It was not yet, there was not yet any siach in the field on the land, meaning there was not yet any tree of the field. Everything was waiting to grow because the rains had not yet come. Now, you may wonder, how could the word siach mean both tree and conversation? And aside from the fact that Hebrew is a word-poor language and sometimes needs to stretch, there's something very fundamental that connects a tree and a conversation. They share the sense of branching growth, of a life that unfolds in powerful and sometimes unexpected ways. And so it was in the evening that Yitzchak went out and established for us the Mincha prayer, because, says Rav Cook, then the soul can elevate her nature and the natural holy emotions stored up in her to join to the living God and overflow with pure love and awe, increasing fertile fruit, sending out shoots and branches, becoming a mighty tree. And that's an aspect of divine service that Yitzchak gives us, is the ability to pour out our hearts and through that to give expression and embodiment to an experience of an entire day. And with nighttime, of course, comes Yaakov, and suddenly we arrive at our Parsha, Parshat Vayetze. And the truth is, this Parsha has a tremendous amount to teach us about prayer, perhaps more than any other that's come before it, and in many different ways. Because the secret of Vayetze is that Yaakov is not the great guide to prayer in these chapters. The Imahot, the mothers, are, and in particular, Leah. Now, I can't retell the whole story, and hopefully you'll do a bit of learning on your own this week and review how it is that Yaakov came to have four wives, but for now, just recall that Leia enters our story in a rather painful fashion as the unwanted wife. Not a joyous or even pretty situation. And just how do I know that her life with Yaakov was less than perfect? Well, look to the name of her firstborn child in Bereishit 29:32. Vatahar Leah v'teled ben. Leah became pregnant and she gave birth to a son, v'tikra shmo Reuven, and she called his name Reuven. For she said, ki amra ki ra'a Adonai bo'oni'i, ki ata yahavani ishi. Because the Lord has seen my affliction, for now my husband will love me. Just take a second and appreciate the pain that lies behind such a statement. Now my husband will love me. But Leia does far more than share about her relationship with Yaakov through the names of her sons. She opens up for us the inner struggle in which she was engaged for years and how she found its right outlet in prayer. Look to the next line announcing the birth of Shimon. And why is his name Shimon? Ki shama Hashem ki sanu anochi. Because God has heard that I am hated. V'yiten li gam et zeh. And gave me also this. V'tikra shmo Shimon. And she called his name Shimon. Now what more powerful expression of bakasha could you have? You know, bakasha, we call this posture in prayer asking or requesting. But in truth, it's far more than those words can convey. Do you hear Leah's pain in that simple phrase? Kishama Hashem kisanu anochi. God heard that I'm hated. Bakasha isn't just a gimme gimme prayer, like the sages say, that the sounds of a dog saying, hav hav, gimme gimme. I bet you didn't know, by the way, that dogs in Israel bark in Aramaic. No, bakasha is a turning toward God from a place of deep identification with my own needs and those of the world. And all the while holding the pain that surrounds this lack of wholeness. But Leah doesn't stop there in her lessons. Look next. Vatar od v'teled ben v'tomer ha'pa'am odeh et Hashem al kein krashmo Yehuda. Right? She once again became pregnant. Truth is, this is number four, not number three. And she gave birth to a son. And she said, this time I will give thanks to the Lord. And that's why she called his name Yehuda. And this posture of prayer called Hoda'ah is actually a bit of a compound. It has one part pure thanksgiving, an overwhelming sense of gratitude that what is, is. This time, I will thank the Lord, she says. And that's why Rashi, right on that line, explains Leah's joy at her fourth boy as based on her sense of prophetic math. Leah knew that Yaakov was to have 12 tribes, and she knew that he had four wives. Therefore, when she had her fourth boy, Leah could do the math quickly and realize that she had received more than she'd expected, more than perhaps any right she had reason to ask for, as Rashi says. Why is it, Hap'am Odeh, this time I will give thanks? Shenatalti yoter mechelki, says Rashi, right? I've received or I've taken more than my portion. Me'ata yesh li lehodot, and from here on, I should give thanks. Because there's a particular purity to the gratitude which flows from a recognition that I've received beyond all bounds. But, nevertheless, there's another element in the prayer of Hoda'ah, and that is acknowledgement. When in the morning when we wake up and we say, Modeh ani lefanecha, right, we are expressing gratitude to the Ribono shel Olam, to the Master of the world, for trusting us enough to give our souls back in the morning. So I am saying, thank you. I am grateful before you, O Lord. But we're also being modeh, acknowledging that it's God who gives us back our soul. Acknowledging in a way which isn't just lehodot, to give thanks, but rather lehit vadot, to testify to the underlying reality which my life is expressive of. And so, this is the end of Leah's need to tie her childbearing to hopes about her husband. I mean, Reuven, right? God saw my pain, or hopefully my husband will see and love me, sorry, and Shama Hashem, right, God heard that I was hated, and her third child was Levi. Why? Yilve ishi alai. Now this time my husband will be attached to me, for I've borne him three sons. Do you hear the deep problem in her heart? But now we have Yehuda, who's not only an expression of gratitude, but a sense of acknowledgement that this is deeply, at least most deeply, about her relationship with God. And so there's a bit of healing that seems to come in the fact that she doesn't mention Yaakov with Yehuda's name. And so, through the names of her children, Leah's just demonstrated for us the fundamental three-part structure of traditional prayer, Shevach, Bakasha, V'Hoda'ah, praise, request, and thanksgiving. She praises God for hearing her requests, and her requests are obvious. And then she gives thanks for more than she even dreamed. Now, don't worry. Leah's not alone in this process of unfolding the power of prayer in Parshat Vayetze. Rachel also has much to teach us in the Parsha. But I'm going to actually leave it to you to do for homework. I want you to spend some time this Shabbat getting clarity on the various postures of prayer embodied in the names of Dan and Naphtali, in light of what I've already offered you. The second one, Naphtali, is actually particularly rich and will really bear fruit if you take a look at Rashi and Onkelos on his name. And if there's anybody out there who's a little bit of grammar-minded, you should contemplate what Naphtali's name might teach us about the three-lettered Hebrew root of the word tefillah, of prayer itself. But I can't talk about everything. And I do need to do justice to Yaakov before we close. Because like I said, the stories of the Avot, which form the whole structure of the book of Bereishit, are a journey of prayer. Avram gave us the Amidah. He established our base and taught us how to stand fast on it. Yitzchak gave us the conversation, the ability to unfold life through growth and ongoing interaction. And Yaakov brings us to the encounter. V'yetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva v'yeleth Haran. Right? Yaakov left Be'er Sheva and he went on to Haran. That's how our Parsha begins. V'yifga b'makom v'yelenjan. And he encountered the place and slept there kiba ha-shemesh, because the sun went down. And he took from the stones of that place and he put them around his head, v'shkav b'makom ahu, and he lay down in that place. You know, Rav Kook teaches that there's another great benefit which prayer brings to divine service, aside from the standing of Avraham or the conversation of Yitzchak. It's something found in the highest holy ones who draw near to God, who rise up in prayer and lift themselves to the level of prophecy or near to it. They encounter states well beyond the ways of nature because they're lifted up far beyond the natural condition and cleave to the living God. And the time for this type of prayer is, of course, at night, when all the limits of the possible fall away, when the walls that protect and hold us back fade into the darkness, and the potential of the human heart is felt to be unbounded. Because Yaakov wasn't looking for the place, Hamakom, that powerful name of God, which also means the place. He wasn't looking for it, he encountered it. Because if he'd been searching for it, then whatever place he found would have been defined by his limited conceptions and expectations. And since Yaakov wasn't headed to the place, he didn't arrive there, he encountered it. As Rob Cook says, the great light of the sweetness of God is revealed suddenly. Happy is the one who merits to it. Prayer is called encountered, pigia, as a result not only of the nature of the path which the traveler takes, but also of the imminent nearness of the one encountered. And so Yaakov happens upon the makom in our parsha, the place and that name of God which had been waiting there with him all along. And he establishes the nighttime prayer of Arvit for you and I. Because when in the darkness of the night he laid down, of course he dreamed. And in his dreams, Yaakov encountered a world larger and more beautiful than any the waking world had ever shown him. And so I bless us all to follow in this journey and the path of the Avot, an exploration of prayer. To stand fast in the things we know, to open our hearts and pour them out in conversation, and to take that leap to encounter the unknown, to lay down and to dream. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Foyer. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.